Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Ellen Belcher, filling in for Emily McCord. Today I'm talking to Richard Vedder, an economics professor at Ohio University, about Ohio becoming a right-to-work state. Rich is one of three authors of a recent report that says Ohio should prohibit companies from requiring their employees to join a union as a condition of getting a job. Thanks for talking with me today, Rich.
Glad to be with you, Ellen.
A group called Ohioans for Workplace Freedom wants Ohio to join 24 other states and adopt a right-to-work law. That question could be on the statewide ballot in 2013. In your report, you say that the annual personal income of a family of four would on average be $12,000 more if Ohio had passed a right-to-work law in 1977. What's the evidence to support that?
It's based on a statistical examination of the behavior of people in right-to-work states compared with the behavior of workers in non-right-to-work states. We find that, on average, in right-to-work states, there's a greater growth of jobs, of incomes, of capital formation. And with that, of course, comes greater opportunities for workers and higher wage incomes.
A lot of economists believe that the principal reason for Ohio's economic decline in recent decades has been the loss of manufacturing jobs, many of which have gone not to right-to-work states, but to foreign countries. How can you isolate how much it's costing Ohio because we're not a right-to-work state?
There is no question that globalization has had a significant impact on Ohio. I would add that one of the reasons why manufacturing has fled the United States, and Ohio in particular, has been high labor costs. And those high labor costs have been partially attributed to labor union policies and agreements which were reached, in some cases, decades ago.
Just 14% of Ohioans belong to a labor union today, while 50 years ago that number was 35%. Just because someone is in a union doesn't mean they were made to join the union. How prevalent is the requirement that workers have to join a union to keep their jobs?
As you mentioned, if we have 14% in unions, we have 86% who are not in unions. And within the other 14%, a very large percentage of them now are public employees.
If the numbers are so low, would it be fair to say that this is more a partisan political debate than a public policy debate?
Well, I'm sure some view it as a partisan matter. I'm an economist, and I look at just the evidence. And I see that the evidence has been that states with right-to-work laws have had more robust economic growth. Ohio has a very serious growth deficit problem. We have gone from well above the national average to well below. We've lost a lot of businesses in the Dayton area. NCR is, of course, the poster child example. So this is just one of many tools, I think, that could be used to deal with the problem.
Tell us what your critics say that you're getting wrong and make the case for why they're mistaken.
The critics will say, with some truth, that without right-to-work laws, which are still a majority of the states, that wages on average are higher in those states than in right-to-work states. I don't think that tells much of the story because the gap between the right-to-work and non-right-to-work states in that regard has narrowed dramatically.
Ohioans turned down a right-to-work initiative in 1958 by an overwhelming 2-to-1 margin. Meanwhile, last fall, Senate Bill 5, which would have limited the collective bargaining rights of public employees, was defeated 60-40. Now, I know there are surveys out there that say voters would support making Ohio a right-to-work state, but if I'm a politician who's being asked to endorse this effort, wouldn't the actual voting records of Ohioans be more convincing than surveys that were conducted before there's really been any public campaign about this?
You can assess the evidence both ways. And as unionization declines in the United States, the Midwest continues to suffer relative to the rest of the nation. I think people are looking for new options, new ways to make us competitive, and I think this is a tool in the arsenal.
I've been talking with Richard Vedder, an economics professor at Ohio University. It's always great talking with you, Rich. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ellen.